1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4. And the Word of God says, And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. If you go down to verse 18, the Bible says, And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, and she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. Notice if you go down to verse 24, And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for mothers in our lives. Lord, those that many times perhaps have also been spiritual mothers to us. Lord, we're grateful for those that have influenced us spiritually. We thank you for the example we have this morning of Hannah. Help us, Lord, to learn from the example that she left us of a, Lord, truly a godly woman. And I pray that you would give us understanding this morning. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. I want to preach this morning here. We know when we begin here the story, there's a lot of sorrow. But by the end, we see by chapter 2, we see that Hannah is rejoicing. And I want to preach this morning on this thought, when the heart of a mother rejoices. When the heart of a mother rejoices. We're going to look at really three things this morning, very, very simple here. But number one, we're going to look at her petition. We're also going to look, secondly, at her priorities. And number three, we're going to look at her praise. Now, as we think about Hannah, you know, I kind of looked, I said, well, is she mentioned anywhere else in the Word of God? Because sometimes you'll have characters in the Word of God and they're mentioned somewhere else, but Hannah is only mentioned in two chapters in the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2, and that's it. But really her impact lives on because of Samuel. And to think about the influence that she had on this young child, and I hope that we'll see that by the end of this message here, the impact that she had on the life of Samuel. And think about Samuel, about what he did before we get into talking about her. He, as a child, between 10 and 12 years old, began serving at the temple of God and became established as a prophet. People recognize this young man between 10 to 12 years of age. They recognize him as the hand of God was upon him. Amen. Let me stop and say this. It had a lot to do with his mother. Amen. It had a lot to do with his mother. And we'll see that in just a minute. He had to go to the prophet Eli and say, God has given me a message and God is going to judge your house because you're not dealing with your children. Think about that. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm thinking about my son, you know, being 12 years old and coming to me and trying to say, hey, you're not doing this wrong. What you're doing is wrong. You need to get your life straightened out. That's what it was to Eli, the religious authority in Israel. And because of that, the Bible tells us later that Samuel was established as a young boy as a prophet in Israel. And think about the impact he had for many years after that. Used of God in a tremendous way. But we have to think about his mother, Hannah. So as we consider his mother Hannah, let's see first of all, look at her petition here in this particular account. We see that her petition, several things about her petition. First of all, her petition was made in sorrow. Notice the Bible says in verse 7, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Notice her petition in sorrow. Notice the sorrow. Notice the span of the sorrow. The Bible says in verse 7, as he did so year by year. Think about here, Hannah, the tradition back then for the Jew was to go year by year to go to the tabernacle and offer the sacrifice unto the Lord. And think about this was a year after year after year. And the petition of Hannah was the same. Now, she's beginning here, this is sorrow, but think about the sorrow that she was experiencing was not just a day or two. This sorrow was year after year after year after year where she kept asking the Lord in her sorrow to give her a son. And I think it is a good example for us because I believe that as the Bible teaches that everybody is going to go through times of sorrow. Everybody is going to go through heartache. Everybody is going to go through affliction. Many times you'll hear people say, well, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, all your problems will go away. That is just simply not true. Right. The rain falleth on the just and on the unjust. Sorrow comes to everyone. And here, Hannah is experiencing the sorrow, but notice her petition still stays the same. We see the persistency. So we see her petition in sorrow. We see the span of her sorrow. We see the stirring of her sorrow. The Bible tells us in verse 7 again, and she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Now the she here is Peninnah, which is the other wife of Elkanah, and she was provoking her. Now, it's not sorrow enough. Think about for year after year after year to give the same petition to God and not see the answer. She's in sorrow, but now she has also someone that is provoking her. Constantly attacking her and berating her. And by the way, back then it was kind of a sign of the blessing of God upon a woman's life for her to have a child, and especially a man child. And so as Peninnah was perhaps berating her and making fun of her, says, well, look it, I have children and you don't. She would do that when they would come to the house of the Lord. As she's making her petitions. And so we see the span of her sorrow, we see the stirring of her sorrow, but we also see the solitude of her sorrow. In the end of verse 7, the Bible says, therefore she wept and did not eat. This was a time of rejoicing for the house of Elkanah. They would do this once a year. They would bring offerings unto the Lord, give it to the priest, Eli, and it would be a time when there would be also a feast. It would be a time of rejoicing every year, approaching the Lord, having this opportunity to do this every year. But think about, as everybody, this is a year by year. She's in sorrow. She's being provoked. But think about the solitude of her sorrow. She was grieving by herself, alone. She was not supported by the other wife. She was not supported by Elkanah. The Elkanah we see later, he says, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And so her sorrow, think about, it was in solitude. She was alone. But may I say here, although her sorrow was, the span of her sorrow was long, and the stirring of her sorrow was grievous, and the solitude of her sorrow was no doubt made it even worse, but she had someone she could go to. And that was the Lord. And may I stop here and say this, that in our sorrow, the greatest person that we can come to is God Himself. Amen. Approach the throne of God. Amen. As He desires to come boldly to His throne and bring our petitions in our sorrows. But you know what many people do in their sorrows? They, in today's vernacular, they like to post it on Facebook and say, this is what I'm going through. They want a response. They want people to feel bad for them. And to lie today, people, instead of going to God for their sorrow, they'll go to everybody else. They'll like to talk to everybody else about their problem, and they forget the most important person, and that's God. So in the span, in the stirring, in the solitude of the sorrow, we must come to God. So in her petition, we see her petition was in sorrow, but number two, her petition was for a son. The Bible tells us in verse 11, if you go down, the Bible says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Now think about the petition here for a son. We see the source for the petition. The Bible says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. You see, when we come and make our petitions, we are not making our petitions into a man, we're making our petitions into God. Amen. Who can answer that need? And He will. I'm sure that we could spend much time this morning and go across your life, and perhaps some of you have not been saved a long time, some of you have been saved for a long time, and you could perhaps go in your life and talk about the answers to prayers in your life and how God has worked in your life. Specifically, I remember when we first moved to Dover, I graduated college. Now, I graduated college debt-free. Amen. I worked and I was able to pay. And when I had no money when I graduated, but I didn't have any debt. So I came on the staff of Capital Baptist Church in Dover, Delaware. And I was getting married in a few months and didn't have a house. Didn't have furniture. No bed, no couch, no table, nothing. And so I thought, well, let's pray. And after we found a little house to live in, our first house, and we began praying. And I prayed specifically. I said, Lord, I need a bed, furniture, that'd be nice, and a dresser. And Lord, it'd be nice to have a couch too as well, just for the living room, at least one couch, you know, it'd be nice. And a table for the kitchen would be nice. I prayed for these three things specifically. The Lord answered those things. Within 2 weeks, my wife's aunt texted her and said, hey, we have a queen bed we're trying to get rid of. Would you be interested? Well, let's pray about it. No. Yes, we're interested. That's the answer to prayer. During that same week, we had a church member text us and say, hey, I bought new furniture. I have a couch that I'm getting rid of, and it pulls out into a bed. Would you be interested in it? I say, sure. And then the lady to whom we rented the house from said, hey, I don't have room for the table in the kitchen. Would you be interested in that? Now, you can say, wow, man, you're a lucky person. No, I believe God answered the prayers. Sometimes I ask myself, why don't I pray more like that for specific things? But these were things that the Lord provided as I approached her. In other words, the Lord is the answer. I didn't go and we didn't announce it to the church and say, all right, we want everybody to know we need some furniture. We need a couch, a kitchen table, and a bed. We didn't announce it. Nobody knew. We didn't talk to anybody, but we approached the Lord, and the Lord knew. Amen. And the Lord took care of that need. So as we make our petition, we see the source of the petition here. It was to the Lord. We see the specifics of the petition. The Bible tells us here in verse 11, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid, notice, a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord. Now, notice here, the man-child, you say, well, why did she ask for a man-child? Well, she asked for a man-child because a woman-child could not serve in the tabernacle. It was only a man-child. So notice here, her desire in the petition, there was a specific petition. She wanted a man-child so that she, in order for her to give him back to the Lord. That was her desire. And you know, it shows really the attitude that really a mother, a Christian mother, ought to have for her children. She ought to desire children so that she can train them for the Lord, so that they can serve the Lord. That was her specific petition. So we see the source of the petition, the specifics of the petition, and the submission in the petition. The Bible says, he says, then, he said, I will give him unto the Lord, notice, all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. Notice here, all the days of his life. Her attitude was not, well, God, I'll let him serve in the tabernacle for a few years. And no, she wanted a man child so that she could give him all the days of his life. You know what that shows here in her petition? It shows submission to God. So in this position, in the midst of sorrow, she's asking the Lord, notice, you're the source. You're the one that has the answer. And Lord, I want a man child, but I don't want a man child just for my glory, just so I can join there my husband's other wife. I want a man child so I can give him back to you, Lord, all the days of his life. That's my petition. And I think it ought to reflect what our petitions ought to be. You know, our petitions ought to be, Lord, I am approaching you for this specific thing, but I don't want this specific thing for me, for my benefit, for my profit. I want this specific thing for your glory, for your purpose. Doesn't the Word of God say that if we delight in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our hearts? As we delight in the Lord. In other words, it's not, so God didn't say, hey, if you have to ask for a Corvette, I'll give you a Corvette. That's not the way it works. When we delight in the Lord, He shapes and molds our desires to be in line with His desires for our lives. And when that happens, wonderful things happen in our lives. So we see her petition. Her petition was in sorrow, but her petition also was for a son. But number two, we see her priorities. Now, it's interesting here because when God answers that prayer, we see her priorities all throughout her life. We see, first of all, notice the spiritual priorities that she had. In verse 12, the Bible says, and it came to pass as, notice, she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now, the Bible points us to the tradition was for Eli and his, or Elkanah and his family to go up and to do their thing. They would offer the sacrifices. They would spend time in prayer, all of them. They would have a feast and they would eat and they would rejoice and then they would leave. But the Bible just kind of points out to us right there that as everybody has done, the Bible tells us that she continued praying to the Lord. In other words, she had priorities in her life, and her priorities were first spiritual priorities. She continued praying while everybody else stopped praying. You see, her priorities were spiritual. This was more than just, this is what the ritual that we do every year. You see, it was more to her than a tradition. To her, it was real. So she continued praying. Not only did she continue praying, but she credited God. In verse 20, the Bible tells us here, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived and she bare a son and called his name, notice, Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Notice many times when we get answered to prayers, we say, well, this is what happened to me. And many times we'll forget about God. We'll forget that we first asked God of that. And many times we'll go and tell people, wow, this is what happened to me. But we should say, this is what God has done. This is the request that God has answered. So she credited God. She said, this man-child that I've asked for, I want you to know, this came from God. God has answered that need. So notice in her spiritual priorities, she continued praying, she credited God, and our priorities in life, spiritual priorities, ought to be, it is more than tradition. It is more than, well, we go to church and we pray and this is what we do when we do it and I have to go in the morning and I have to pray for a certain amount of time. I have to read the Bible for a certain amount of time. No, be more than that. Right. More than that is meditate on the Scriptures. Amen. Don't just open your Bible in the morning and close it and that's done for the day. Meditate upon that throughout the day. We're not just supposed to pray for 10 minutes in the morning and say, well, I'm done for the day. No, we're supposed to have a spirit of prayer all throughout the day. You don't have to be in a closet on your knees and with your hands folded to pray. You can pray anytime, walking down the street, driving, with your eyes wide open, praying to God. That's right. So it's more than a tradition. But she had spiritual priorities. Notice she continued praying. She credited God, but also she committed the child. In verse 22, the Bible says, but Hannah went not up. This was the time of year now after she has had a child. It's time to go up to the temple. I said, well, why wouldn't she go up? Notice why. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Aren't you grateful this morning for a nursery? That's helpful in the service, isn't it?
Amen.
Especially with younger children. And I know, try to do devotions with four kids under, you know, four every night. That goes really well. But I'm thankful for a nursery. But here, notice her priority. Her priority was she committed the child. Then I will bring him once he is weaned, that he may appear before the Lord. Notice here, she's saying here, I want to train this child. I want to make sure that I teach this child how to behave in the house of God, how to have respect for God and worship for God. He says, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord. Notice, and there abide forever. Now, this is important here, the word forever, because twice in this passage we see that the Bible says she wants the child to serve all the days of his life. But now she says that I want to bring him before the Lord, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. In her training, no doubt she talked to her son Samuel about what it meant to have eternal life. Samuel, life is more than just the now. Because Samuel, you're going to grow up. And Samuel, one day, you're going to die. And I'm about to bring you to the temple, Samuel. And as we go there, we're going to worship God. But this God is not just a God that we worship here and now. This is a God that we're going to worship forever. You understand that, Samuel? Yes, ma'am. She taught her son that there was more to life than the now. You know, the greatest thing that a mother could do for a child is to tell her child of a God that has redeemed them, that loves them, that's forgiven them of all their sins if they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. The heart of Hannah here was for her son to be trained to know the Lord, not in a traditional sense, in a way, if you would, but in a sense that she knew God personally, and she wanted her son Samuel to know God. You know, life is more than the now. The Bible says that, and by the way, that's a fact, that 100% of the people that are born die. 100%. That's a pretty good statistic. Yeah, it's part of life. It's the way it is. But our lives is not just it and that's done. There's more to life than the now. We live our lives, and our lives are a series of opportunities. And God has appointments for us all throughout our lives. God wants to meet with us. I believe that God wants to work in our hearts. He's trying to convict us, to make us aware of His need of Him. By His Spirit, He does that. He works in our hearts. And He has appointment, and He speaks to us. He sends people our way to give up the gospel, to tell us about Him and how we can be saved and how we can have a home in heaven. And all throughout our lives, we have a series of appointments. But by the way, none of these appointments we have to keep. But there's one appointment that we are going to keep, and that is when we die.
Right.
The Bible says that after this death, the judgment. Now, as God tries to work in our lives, all throughout our lives, we can ignore that. We don't have to listen to that appointment, and we can say, like many times, I don't like to go to the doctor's office or to the dentist, and as a matter of fact, I don't have to keep that appointment. I can, if I want, not show up. And it is the same throughout our lives. God has appointments for us, and we don't have to show up. We can ignore these appointments. But may I say, there's an appointment that we're not going to miss. And that is the moment we die. We're going to meet God. And when God calls our name, we're going to be there. We're not going to miss that appointment. Hannah prepared her son Samuel for that. I'm bringing you before the Lord. But it's not just to abide now, it's to abide with Him forever.
Amen.
And we can have eternal life today through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And he walked for 33 and a half years on this, in this world and lived a perfect sinless life. And then he died on the cross to taste death for every man. As he died on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as the last word he said, it is finished. What was finished? The payment for our sins. And Hannah told her child about that Jesus one day would come and do that. And now, Samuel, you're going to go up there, but I want you to go up there so that you can abide in the house of the Lord forever. Not just temporarily, but forever. You know, there are many people that go to church today that will never go to heaven because they don't know the Lord. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what Hannah taught her child? Samuel, you're going to serve in the tabernacle. But as you serve, I want you to know, Samuel, that as you serve the Lord, that will not get you to heaven. That will not give you eternal life. As you serve the Lord, Samuel, you have to realize what He did for you. It's more than just a service. It's more than just a work. You have to realize who Jesus is. The Messiah that's going to come and take away your sins. And in our lives, we have to get to the place, and as I think about my mother, and perhaps your mother, if your mother was a saved woman, gave you the gospel or encouraged you along the way to know God in a personal way. It's not about tradition. It's not about going to church. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ because of what He did on the cross for us. He died to pay for all of our sins. So her priorities, notice, were spiritual. She continued praying. She credited God and she committed the child. But number two, not only to her spiritual priorities, but we see her social priorities. Notice here, her social priorities, first of all, is she wanted to prepare the child according to verse 22, and we just read that. The Bible says, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Now, that word weaning has the idea to get a child to where he can function on his own. He can sit and be respectful, have an adult conversation with an adult person. In other words, get a child to the place where he's trained. Now, it's different for every child. Sometimes some children will grow up and sometimes some mature quicker than others. And if you have siblings, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some people just get it quicker. Me and my older brother got it pretty quick. You know, the spankings worked quite well.
Amen.
And so by the age of 12 or 13, we were good. But Jeremy, the brother after me, it took him a while. His last spanking was a 16. He just didn't get it. It took him a little longer. Now, she wanted to train the child. You see, her priority, while everybody was going out to the tabernacle, was to invest her time, her energy, into her son. And she did a good job at that. She did a good job at that. While she missed the trip to the tabernacle, her priority was her child when he was weaned. You see, she didn't want to go up there and just because it was what we're supposed to do. She wanted to make sure that when she went up there with her son, because why? She had made a commitment to the Lord, say, I'm going to give my son back to you. You see, it was all about the Lord. So we see she prepared the child, but also she provided an example for her son. When she came up, according to verse 24 through 28, we see, first of all, her gift. Notice she brought him, in verse 24 at the end, unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. This idea of bringing this child is offering the child as a gift to God. And say, here, God, this is for you. This is for your service. And notice here, she brought more than that. She brought gifts with her. That was the gifts by tradition. And so Samuel here, think about the conversation. This is his first trip to the tabernacle. And he's going up and Samuel perhaps is having a conversation with his mother, Hannah. And he says, Mom, why are we bringing all these things? Well, Samuel, we're bringing all these things because the Lord deserves it. Bringing all these things because we want to give to the Lord because He deserves our gift. And that's the least we can do. And Samuel, I want you to know that when we go up there, I am giving you to the Lord. I've given your life to the Lord. I've dedicated your life to the Lord. So she's provided an example of gift. And one of the greatest things I think of motherhood is her giving. Every mother, the energy, the time, the sweat, the tears, and putting, that's gift. Just that in itself shows the spirit of giving and investing in someone. She taught that to her child. Not only do we see her gift, but we also see her gratitude. Verse 26, the Bible says, "And she said, O Lord, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord." Now she's talking, the word Lord here is small L, so she's talking to Eli. And she's reminding Eli, remember when you heard me pray before? Remember when everybody departed and I was praying and he saw her lips move, but no sound was coming out? So she's reminding Eli, "I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord." And you see, for this child I prayed. You see him? His name is Samuel. And notice, "And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked of him." Amen. She goes to Eli and said, "Look at what God has done for me. Amen. Look at the child that, remember when I was here praying for a son? Eli, here he is. God answered my petition." Amen. She was grateful to God. Not only do we see her gift, her gratitude, but we also see her gain. The most thrilling thing for Hannah is no doubt verse 28. "Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he, who's the he? That's Samuel. Worship the Lord there. Can you imagine in Hannah's life? 10 or 12 years, invested in this child, prayed in her sorrow, saw God answer that prayer, worked as hard as she could to train this child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and now she brings him and she says, "Eli, look, this is what God has done. He's answered me." And so she gave him, she led him to the Lord. And can you imagine as she's standing back and she sees her son, 10, 11, 12, worshiping God. Can you imagine Hannah looking at that, thinking, "It's been worth it." Amen. Look at him. He's worshiping God. Amen. A young boy. That was her priorities. You see, her priorities were spiritual priorities. She continued praying. She credited God. She committed the child. But we also see her social priorities. She prepared the child and she provided an example for the child. And now she's able to see the fruit of her example. This is how I invested. And by the way, my dad would always joke, and you know, when he would do something, perhaps that, you know, he would tell us to do and then he wouldn't do it himself. You know, "Son, put your seatbelt on." "Dad, do you have your seatbelt on?" "Do as I say, not as I do." You ever heard that? But as you think about that, Hannah provided a good example. It wasn't about what she said. It was about what she did. We aren't supposed to teach the children, but we are supposed to show the children what we believe. If you just say something and expect the children, the next generation, to turn out, it doesn't work that way. You have to provide the example in your life. So we see not only her petition, her priorities, but lastly, and we're done, chapter 2, verse 1, we see her praise. This is how she ends this. "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none." This is her praying here. "There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they are stumbled at are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Out of heaven shall the thunder upon the shall thunder upon them, and the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. That was a prayer. Her prayer communicates two things. She had a high view of God, and number two, she had a humble view of herself. But may I stop and say this? This did not happen by accident. She's praising God. She's not asking anything now. She's praising God. But let's look at before. Remember when she was in sorrow? She asked the Lord. In the midst of a sorrow, she knew who to come to. And when God answered that prayer, she knew who to thank. She saw God work in a tremendous way in her life. And then with what God gave her, she used that for His glory. Her son Samuel, she trained him. She brought him along. She said, look, this is for the Lord. And everything she did for was for the glory of God. And think about all the things that she's been through her sorrow, through the answered prayer, through the training of the child. And then she gets to the place where she sees that child, that it was an answer of the prayer of God in her sorrow, that God brought to her that child to train, to invest in the Lord. And now she sees the child worship God. She's seen and been a witness of the work of God in her life. She can't help now. But praise God. Amen. You know what that did all for her? This is what it did. It gave her an exalted view of God, a high view of God. And when we have the right view of God, we'll have a right view of ourselves.
Right.
That's right.
Right, bro.
Our view of God will settle our view of everything else, and especially in our lives. You see someone that's full of pride and full of themselves in their lives, I'll show you someone that has a low view of God.
Right.
And Hannah exercised her faith, made petitions before God, did all that she did for the glory of God. And now she can't help but praise the Lord. May I stop and say this? If you're in the place where you say, well, you know what, I don't have anything to praise the Lord for. Well, maybe you've never done what Hannah did. In your sorrow, you've never made God part of your life. You've never approached God as the answer. Perhaps when God did answer your prayer, you thought, oh, this is great. Now I'm fine. I don't need God anymore. And maybe along your life, along the way, you failed to do things that were pleasing to God. May I say, it's not too late. You can turn things around. And say, you know what, I haven't been what I ought to be, but by the grace of God, I'm going to try to do better.
Right.
And when we do these things, we get to the place in our lives and we can't help. It's an overflow. A lot of times you say, well, I wish I could praise the Lord like so-and-so, or be happy like this person, or be able to do this and be this type of Christian. Well, it doesn't come by accident.
Right.
You know, you'll hear many testimonies, and many of you had testimonies this morning about mothers and the impact that they had in your life. Some of you had mothers that were godly. Some had mothers that weren't Christians. But may I say, they've all had an impact in our lives. And our life is an opportunity to get to the place where we have an exalted view of God and a humble view of ourselves. Where we get to the place where we can't help but praise the Lord. The greatest time of rejoicing for a mother, and by the way, for any person, is to see and to hear that their children are walking in the truth.
Amen.
There's no greater joy than that.
Right.
You know, I thank the Lord that all my brothers are serving the Lord.
Amen.
But let me say this, it didn't come by accident. It does not happen by accident. The Bible doesn't guarantee that everybody's going to turn out. Everybody's got a free will. But I'm saying what Hannah did here is what we must do whether it be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother, or a physical father or mother, is to provide the example that we need to be in our lives so that we can get to the place, like Hannah did, when the heart of a mother rejoices. That's what takes place in a person's life. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning, and let's be thankful for our mothers, whether they were saved or not. Whether they were always the perfect example or not. There was no perfect mother. But I sure am grateful for my mother. And for the time that she invested in my life. Let's be what God wants us to be.